Our Father in heaven, Lord, we're very grateful for the way that you've led us and guided us to this place right now at this moment. I ask for your blessing for each person who's gathered here, who's come this morning seeking a Sabbath blessing, seeking to hear a word from you, Lord. You speak to each heart. Forgive us each of our sins, that there'd be nothing between us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible in your hand, I'd like to invite you to read along with me from the 68th Psalm. Psalm 68, just verses 4 and 5. Psalm 68, 4 and 5, where it says, "Sing to God, sing praise to His name. Extol Him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord. And rejoice before Him. A father to the fatherless, defender of widows, is God in His holy dwelling." Father. A father not only of his own children, but a father to the fatherless. It protects widows. Of all the ways the Lord God Almighty has chosen to reveal Himself and describe Himself to humanity, the primary identification that He has chosen is that of Father. This, gentlemen, should be a little humbling for each one of us, because there is a larger role for the human male than merely trudging over the face of this earth and scratching out a living. There is a calling that directs us upwards. Many men over the centuries have sought and worked diligently to leave their mark on this world before they die. But marks fade away, monuments crumble, and this earth is going to be made over. Our highest aspiration should be, as Spurgeon put it, to carve your name on hearts and not marble. And to recognize that your calling to be a father in your own home and in the Church of Christ is your greatest privilege and responsibility. And your model for this role is the Almighty Himself. But who of us? Who of us is equal to that task? And yet, is there a man among us here today who is not concerned every day for the needs of his family, who wouldn't die to protect them from harm? When you think about that for just a second, you can see that you do have a lot in common with the Lord in this matter. And I would submit to you that our Father in heaven is not anxious to see anyone fail who bears the title that He's chosen for Himself. And that if you ask, He's going to help you to succeed in that. But let's talk about our limitations for just a minute first. We know, and God knows, that we are dust, and our past is strewn with many mistaken choices. So you should have been encouraged this morning by that scripture reading, that responsive reading that Charles led us through. It was taken from the 103rd Psalm. And it said there, which is actually starts with 100 Psalm, verse 3, verse 8, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve." Now, I got to tell you, I expected a few amens when I got to that particular part right there. "He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him." Gentlemen, fathers, the Lord loves you too. Not just your wives, not just your children. He loves you too. And He has a stake in you. He has an interest in you that He wants to help develop, to help you in meeting all of your responsibilities. There's a great example of this in the extreme in the Gospels. In Mark, the 5th chapter, if you'd like to read that, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, in the very first verse, it says there, "They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes, and when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit, came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. So he comes right in front of Jesus on the shore of Galilee, and he kneels. At this point, the Lord has an exchange with the demons who have been given control of this man's life. Then there was an issue that concerned the local bacon market. The locals got upset and they wanted Jesus to leave. Jesus was about to go and get back in the boat, but through it all, this man, whose life had spun completely out of control, much farther than any of your lives here today have ever gone, this man was still there kneeling before Christ, and he didn't know what to do. He certainly didn't want to lose Jesus and go back to what he had just been through. And it says this in verse 18. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family. Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. The greatest work this man could do was to go home and bring with him a blessing for his family that he had received from Christ. Gentlemen, can't we do the same? Can't we do the same thing? And ladies, can't you all be supportive of your husbands coming home and making such an effort? Does this mean that when this fellow got home, back to his family, that all of his troubles were over? That everything was just smooth sailing from then on? Not at all. The scriptures lay it out the way it really is in this world. Psalm 34, verse 17 and 19, it says, "The righteous cry out." Talked about that last week. The people who are right with God cry out. And the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles. Now this is, I know you're not reading with me, you're just listening. It's not many as in Minnie Cooper or many as in miniature schnauzer. This is many, M-A-N, with a Y attached to it, many troubles. A person who's right with God would have many troubles? Why is that? You'd think that would be the person that everything is going good for. Why would a righteous person have many troubles? Well, it's like the Apostle Paul. He never went looking for trouble, but trouble always seemed to find him. The righteous person, you're like a lamb amongst wolves, and trouble is just going to find you. That's not too encouraging, but that's only because I only read the first half of the verse. I didn't read the whole verse. The verse says, "A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all." There's a great little passage in the book, Steps to Christ, on page 100. It says this: "Keep your wants, your joys, your sorrows, your cares, and your fears before God. You cannot weary him. You cannot burden him. His heart of love is touched by our sorrows and even by our utterances of them. Take to him everything that perplexes the mind. Nothing is too great for him to bear. Nothing that in any way concerns our peace is too small for him to notice. There is no chapter in our experience too dark for him to read. There is no perplexity too difficult for him to unravel." Why is that? Well, it's because the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. We as mortal men may not feel up to the challenge of all that is needed from us, but the Lord is. I can't, but God can. It's the lesson from kindergarten this morning. I can't, but God can. And through Him, all things become possible. All our lives, the Lord has been training us, equipping us for the calling that has been given. I grew up, my teen years were down in Escondido, and for those of you who grew up in the San Diego area or Orange County, somewhere along the coast, you know that in the autumn, in the evenings, the fog starts to roll in, and it can get terribly thick. I remember at 16, 17, out driving in my dad's car and that fog coming in. One night with my friend Larry and I was walking on the road on Deltias Highway, which is an extension of what is Valley Parkway down there today. The fog was so thick, I was out on the street in front of the car walking along the center line. My friend Larry was driving the car behind us so we could try to make it home that night. And we get home safely enough. But now as I look back on it, I realize how horribly dangerous that was. James Hewitt tells a story just like this and makes a very good point. He says, when I was a small boy growing up in Pennsylvania, we would often visit my grandparents who lived 9 miles away. One night a thick fog settled in over the hilly countryside before we started home. I remember being terrified and asking my mother how we were going to make it home. Mother said, "Don't worry, your father knows the way." You see, Dad had walked that road as a boy. He had ridden his bicycle over that blacktop to court my mother. And for years he had made these weekly trips back to visit his own parents. How often when I can't see the road of life and have felt that familiar panic rising up in my heart, I have heard the echo of my mother's voice, "Don't worry, your father knows the way." Let's pray together. Lord, it is such a comfort to know that where we lack, you are well supplied, that where we are not competent, you are completely competent, that what we cannot do, that you can. I pray you would help us, Father, as we're going down our own road of life here, each one of us in this place, that you would shine light on our path, that you would be our guide and direct us. Help us, Lord, to do all of the things that matter to us most, to be able to care for our families, to be able to protect them, to be able to, Lord, lead our children, our grandchildren, to you and to your side. Deliver us all safely to your kingdom. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.